everyone. Welcome to the Meeting Your Soul podcast. My name is Farah. I'm your host. And as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining. And I am delighted to introduce today's guest, who is actually my cousin and someone that has known me since I was a wee child and has gone through such an incredible transformation. And I just love to see her blooming in the way that she is. And as you can see, she's literally glowing on the other side of this camera. And I am so happy to have Marissa here today. So thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here as well.
No, this will be a fun conversation. And I am curious to see where it lands us. But I would love to start, as always, just with a little bit of background on kind of how you're showing up in the world, what you are kind of leading the charge with within a new organization and all of those things. So yeah, feel free to fill everyone in.
I mean, do you want to know like personally how I'm showing up in the world or just like what I'm doing work-wise?
You choose, girl. You say whatever you want to.
Yeah. I think currently I'm showing up in the world of showing people how to find their moments of joy currently, because I'm in that place right now in my life.
Yeah.
Just finding just the little pieces of joy everywhere and every day that I can, no matter how big or small that is.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And it's such a shift, like a paradigm shift of like how you view each day and each moment is when you're actually actively seeking out the moments of joy, right?
Right. Yeah.
How is what was something joyful that happened today?
I had a donut this morning.
Okay. What kind of donut did you get?
A salted caramel donut. It was actually really good. Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
That was like my indulgence. And then now it's like a beautiful day here. So I'm going to go out and enjoy some of the sunshine later before it goes away.
Yeah, I know. And where are you nowadays?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia. Good old Atlanta, the dirty South.
Wow. I know. What prompted you to move down there? I'm curious.
I've always loved Atlanta. Like ever since my sister Amber had moved down here, I always loved it. And I remember saying like, oh, I'm going to end up moving down there one day. And then
yeah.
It all just like the world kind of like aligned. I was living in Seattle, the condo I was staying in. There was some stuff going on with the management there. And they were basically pushing me out. I was trying to find a place. I couldn't find a place. And then my sister was like, well, one of my rental properties, you know, they have to move. And I know you've been talking about moving down here. So if you want to, you know, you can go on ahead and move into one of my rental properties. And Sire, my son, was away at college. And I was like, you know, so one day I just woke up and I remember telling my dad, I was just like, yep, I'm going to do it. And that was like in September. And then I moved like 3 months later.
No way. It
Yeah.
So I felt like it was like overnight and then suddenly.
It did. Yeah. It happened really quick. Yeah. But I always tell people, I'm like, you know, when God tells you to move, you got to move. Like when you get that, you know, feeling or you hear him say that, like you have to move because you only have like a little bit of time, a little bit of a window to do it. And if you don't, then you just miss your opportunity. And like literally everything aligned for me. I sold all my stuff and I just moved here, you know, so to be able to have a place that I can move into my job. I was working remotely at the time. And so like, yeah, everything was just, it was perfect.
That's amazing. And I was just talking about it. It's like having that sense of faith to like trust that if you're feeling pulled, intuitively pulled into a direction, to like know that there's a reason why and to take action from it. Cause I think a lot of times people think of like, oh, I'm doing these things, but it's like, and like, I want this, but it's like, but when the opportunity presents itself, you need to be able to hop on it too. And that's like half the battle and like the risk that goes along with it. Cause it can be kind of scary. Like you're like, okay, I'm dropping everything. I'm starting a new life. And how do you, like, do you feel like you've been rewarded from that? Like, how has it been since you've moved?
Yeah, I always say it's like one of the best decisions I've ever made, just moving here. Yeah, like I love it here. I feel like, you know, I'm happier. I've like lost a lot of weight, like so many different things.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. And like you said, it's really just about faith, like just having faith. I think a lot of people around me were probably a lot more nervous than I was. And I was just kind of like, oh, no, like it's all going to be okay. It's going to happen.
You're like not really worried at all,
Yeah.
actually.
I
And you're a Pisces too, aren't you a Pisces?
am.
Yes. And Pisces are so intuitive and they always like, I think, underestimate it, but they are like, I feel like the most naturally aligned with like that kind of divine energy. And like when they move like water. So when like the current changes, it's like, well, I'm going there and I'm just gonna do it and see what happens.
Yeah, we always swim against the water too sometimes, so
Yeah.
fun part.
The opposite direction. Well, I am so, I know I was thinking about that, and it's just been so much change that's occurred recently. Has there been stumbling blocks or things that you feel like have been not as easeful?
With the move?
Yeah.
Not really. Like I said, it all just kind of just it all like fell into place. I mean, I actually even started a whole new career
Oh,
moving.
really?
Yeah, like probably about like 4 or 5 months after I moved here. Yeah, so when I moved, the company that I was working for, I didn't tell them that I was moving, and we were working remote. So yeah.
Nice. Well, and like if you're working remote, then what does it really matter? But yeah.
Right, yeah. But I mean, it was a state job, so I get it. Like I couldn't necessarily like work outside of the state. So yeah, I didn't tell them, so I knew. So that was like why a lot of people were nervous, because they're just like, oh, you're gonna have to find a job. And I was just like, oh, you know, it'll happen. And it literally did. The job that I have now literally just like fell into my lap. A friend of mine was helping me with my resume, and she was like, oh, there's this position open at my company. I think you'd be really good. Do you mind if I submit it? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then like a week later, I got a call from the recruiter, and they were like, hey, we want to interview you. And then, you know, about 2, 3 weeks later, like I had the job, and I was just like, oh yeah. And it's like, you know, making more money, fully remote. I'll never have to go into the office. So it was just like literally the perfect dream job that I've always wanted, is
Yeah, it
what
was
I have.
everything that you were seeking is what you received. But then again, it was like you were willing to be open to receive a new position, like in like not that you got forced out, but like there was an opportunity. Like both of these other situations, if you think about it, have been times where like things have expired. And then it's like been an opportunity to be able to move in a different direction. And you've done so with grace and like with this sense of like ease that I think is necessary. And because it can be stressful, I think you can create a lot of scenarios in your head of how things could go wrong, even like that was almost getting like almost pushed onto you from other people. But to just like maintain your own center has allowed you to kind of land exactly where you needed to be.
Yeah, so it worked out perfectly.
That is fantastic. Well, and also, I really want to talk about Breast of Us as well, because I know that is that still a huge part of what you're doing now?
Yeah,
Yes.
a
I
lot,
feel
yeah.
like that is definitely, well, and I'm assuming also why you want to be remote and have the flexibility within all your
Right,
schedule
yeah.
that
So
too.
being able to have, you know, a full-time job that I can be remote and flexible, that helps me with the work that I'm doing over at For the Breast of Us too.
Yeah. Well, and tell everybody about what that is and how it got started.
Yeah, so just some background. So I'm a breast cancer survivor for everybody that's, you know, watching and listening. And I was diagnosed at the age of 35. And I couldn't find other women that looked like me and who also had been diagnosed young. Like even going into like the cancer centers, it was all like old white women. And I'm just like, okay, but I know that like I'm not an outlier. Like I know that there's other young women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer too. And I was finding them on social media. And so I'm like, okay, well, I want to create a space where we can all connect with each other and like share our stories and just get to know each other. And like, that's just the power of social media, right? Like, you can meet people who live all across the country, even though you're somewhere else, and like connect and bond with them. And so that is kind of how For the Breast of Us was started. We started For the Breast of Us. It's an online community specifically for women of color who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. We launched back in May of 2019, which is crazy to say because we're coming up on our 5th anniversary.
Yeah, so say it's been growing though.
Yeah, it has been growing. So we have tons of women. We have like a private Facebook group with like over 3,000 women who have been impacted by breast cancer. Sad to say that it's that many women, but at the same time, I'm glad that we provide a space for them.
Exactly.
And so women can, so we have three pillars at For the Breast of Us, and those are advocacy, community, and education. And so we teach women how to advocate for themselves and how to, you know, so they can go back and teach their own family members or friends how to advocate for, you know, not even just breast health, but just health in general.
Exactly. Yeah.
From the
Especially
community
within the
aspect.
healthcare system. I feel like it's it critical within the healthcare system to be able to like stand up and to be able to like say, no, I need this, or this is something that's required, because it's not always going to be offered.
And for somebody like I have a background in healthcare, so it's easy for me to like ask certain types of questions or push back and be assertive, but I know just for the normal layperson, it's not easy.
No.
Especially like in our communities, we're kind of taught like, whatever the doctor says goes. But at the end of the day, like they're still human. People make mistakes or maybe they just forget something, and so it's just being able to like question and ask those questions and not be afraid to ask them so you can get the best possible outcomes or health.
Yeah, and ultimately they might not know, like whatever, the doctor might not know the full scope of it, and so and then be able to have the conversations for them to have a deeper understanding is key. But it's like grin and bear it, and it's like life is meant to be enjoyed, and if you're having something going on with you, like to be able to actually express that and be heard, I think is really important too. So
So teaching women how to advocate. We are building community. So, we have women all across the country, and so they can, connect with women locally or just nationally as well. We host meetups all across the country as well as go to conferences. And then just from the education standpoint, just teaching women about the importance of, breast health, giving them the ABCs of breast cancer. What that means, and just giving them the tools and the resources, so then that way, if they're faced with any type of decision like this, that they're equipped with the information to be able to ask those type of questions to their healthcare team or anybody that, they come in contact with.
Yeah. I love hearing you talk about this, because you just look so inspired and like so passionate about it. And I know, especially when you experience something firsthand, I think that there's an added level of like connection to it. But I think then the ripple effect of what you're creating within this larger community is like awe-inspiring. Like it's really incredible. And I hope you know that.
Well, it's taken me some time. People tell me that all the time. I sometimes don't feel like I'm doing enough. But I'm starting to try to realize, like, I think I'm shouldering a lot of that, and whatever I am doing is, I'm trying to realize that whatever I am doing is good enough, but it's hard to not feel like I'm doing enough.
Yeah. Well, because I think you probably have like a bigger picture of what you're trying to achieve. So it's like, I'm doing this now, but like, this is where I want it to be. But then that takes time to like act naturally arrive there, right?
And then also, there's a lot of women, especially a lot of Black and Brown women, who are being diagnosed younger and younger, or they're also being diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, which is called metastatic breast cancer, which is, not curable. And so they'll live with breast cancer for the rest of their lives. And so that's a lot of when I say, like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. It's like when I have friends who, unfortunately pass away or they're diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, it's just like, oh, am I not doing enough? Like, what else can we be doing? So,
Well, and I think it's like positive to be able to explore, how you could expand within the organization, and how more you can get involved. But the fact that you even started it and created this community, and the fact that 3,000 women are already involved in it, is like, I think that alone has created a huge positive change. Like, even if you did nothing else, that would still have been quite a bit. A whole lot more than a lot of people, I say that for sure. Well, I know what so what inspired you to like, I think you've kind of touched on like what inspired you initially to start it, but like, where do you see it? Where do you want to continue to see it grow? And like, what do you feel like you've already accomplished so far? Let's pat yourself on the back. Let's celebrate a couple wins first. So where he's just like, I'm not doing enough. I was like, I know damn well you are. So like, so what have you already done so far?
Well, we've hosted retreats. We've hosted like small meetups across the country. So we've done that. A lot of like educational like webinars. We have a monthly kind of virtual talk show that we do on all social media platforms. Yeah, it's called Baddies Talk Back. So it's kind of like how Jada Pinkett had like Red Table Talk. So kind of same similar. So we get together, just like a group of breast cancer survivors, that live across the country, and then they talk about different topics. Like this month, they talked about dating. Which is a big thing because, you know, if you can imagine, like, if you're, you know, your age and you're diagnosed with breast cancer and you're dating, like, how do you tell somebody, like, you know, this is, you know, something I was diagnosed with, or, you know, what if you haven't had reconstruction yet, so you don't have any breasts? Like, how do you tell somebody that? Or just, you know, and one of the things I don't think people realize too is like when you're diagnosed so young, and you have to have like chemo treatment, like you're thrown into menopause. They call it medical menopause.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know someone that's been going through chemo that's a male, but I didn't know that for women you went through early menopause, which is, yeah, that's like then your hormones just literally go berserk on.
Hormones change, like your sex life changes, like everything. It's like out the door. So if you're like 30 and you're just like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be in my prime, but like, no.
Game changer. Well, and also dealing with this like potential like life-threatening, diseases at the same time, and then also just trying to live a normal life and like have some type of joy and like the little things too.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that we kind of talk about on the virtual talk show that we have. We have a podcast as well, called
Oh,
Baddie to Baddie.
yeah.
So kind of the same concept, but we have, you know, different type of structure of the different things that we talk about, or we bring on medical professionals or other organizations in the community to talk about kind of like what they're doing as well. Just wanting to spread that information, because when I was diagnosed, I didn't know about any of this stuff at all. And so I'm just like, if I can give this information to other women to like help their experience in any kind of way, like I'm all for it.
Well, and I was just thinking about this earlier as this idea that once we learn something, once we know better, then it's like it's almost like a duty to be able to share it with the people around us and to help others lift them up and hopefully to make that process smoother for them as well. But and so I was like, as we were like, I'm not really doing anything. I was like, I know you're doing a few things, and it like even just what you just rattled off then is pretty impressive. So I will definitely, and I will include all of those in the show notes so that if people want to connect or want to learn more about it, that they'll be able to. But where do you see the future for the rest of us going?
So when For the Rest of Us was originally launched, it was launched as an LLC. And now we have a nonprofit arm as well. So we still have the LLC, which is kind of like the blog that we have where women are submitting their stories, or, you know, we're telling different stories around things that have to do with women of color and breast cancer. But now we have the nonprofit arm, which is called For the Breast of Us Foundation. And one of the things we're doing right now is we opened up, we're giving scholarships to women, just to help with what I call the financial toxicity of breast cancer. Like, there's so many things besides just like medical bills. You know, I'm sure as you know right now, like groceries are expensive. It's like some people need help with like groceries, or, you know, their light bill, rent, whatever the case may be. So I want to be able to just give women this money and they can do whatever they want to. Like, they don't even have to submit any receipts of what it is, and I don't want to have to pay it for them. Like, if somebody's going to give me $250, just give me $250 so I can do what I need to do to help myself and my family. So we are basically raising money kind of like as a grassroots organization to, you know, give scholarships to these women to help them out, and then also raising money so we can help women get to different like breast cancer conferences so they can learn about advocacy and learn more about like what's going on in the treatment world and what new research is out there.
Well, and just to be able to like live. And I think once you're going through all of these things, it's like there's so much already on your plate. And then to be able to get a little bit of relief in this way is definitely a godsend, to say the least. Aw, keep it going. Keep it going. Hello, honey pot. I was like, this is I'm just I'm inspired and I'm just so proud, and I hope you are very extremely proud of yourself too. How would you say this, like breast cancer changed the trajectory of your life, or like, because I feel like it's literally kind of brought you onto a different path that maybe you wouldn't have necessarily walked down otherwise.
It definitely has. I remember when I was going through treatment, I was like, oh, I can't wait till I'd be done, because I'm not going to talk about breast cancer at all. Like, I couldn't wait to be done. It's like, I don't want to have anything to do with breast cancer. So even looking here, like, I'm coming up on my 8th year, what we call Cancerversary, in June. It's like, it's crazy to even think that I'm here, because I didn't want to have anything to do with cancer once I was done.
What changed your mind?
Well, one of the things, like, I met one of my really good best friends when I was going through treatment. She was going through treatment at the same time, so we connected. And she sadly passed away. Her disease ended up turning metastatic, and she passed away, like, yes, less than a year later. And so that was one of the big things, because I was just like, why aren't they researching us? Like, why aren't they researching Black and Brown women? And, because a lot of us are being diagnosed not only younger, but also with more aggressive forms of the disease. Like, my breast cancer was really aggressive, and so they treated it really aggressively. And so I'm just like, so why aren't they researching us? And just hearing, like, some of the doctors were like, oh, well, you guys don't want to be researched. You guys don't want, I'm just like, what? Like,
You're speaking for me. I don't remember sort of
yeah.
saying that.
So we're trying to help, like, change that bias, not even just for medical professionals, but just patients as well. Because I get, patients are like, oh, I don't want to be guinea pigs. But I think people don't realize, like, when you're in a research or clinical trial, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be taking medication.
Yeah.
That could just be that you're just like, they want to know how breast cancer survivors, how they exercise after treatment. Because one thing that people don't realize is that the treatment that they give you for breast cancer, like, it actually makes you gain a lot of weight. Like, I gained, like, 50 pounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, maybe they just want to do a research about that to see, like, what is it about your metabolism or your metabolic state that changes? So it's little things like that, but I don't think we don't know that information, and you only know what you know. So that's where we're trying to kind of bridge in that gap and be like, hey, like, just take this survey. Like, that's being in a clinical trial,
True.
or, maybe if you do need to take medication, let's try to, break down the information that they're giving to you so you can understand it and make an informed decision on what it is that you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that alone is data, though, right? Like they're collecting data and then they can start to analyze it and then hopefully be able to come up with improved treatment plans or like more comprehensive treatment plans, potentially even too, even during the cancer, but then also after, even after like you've been cleared from it, to be able to recover and create more of a holistic lifestyle and a more like, I think, yeah, it's interesting because it's so prevalent that I just find it fascinating that that's not something that's getting discussed more.
Yeah, no, it's not. Or even just, like, integrative therapies. Like, I did conventional, so, like, chemo, radiation, and all that. But I also had friends that worked in integrative medicine. So, like, one of my friends was like, 2 days after you get chemo, you should go get massage and then acupuncture. So I was doing that regularly, and I'm sure, like, that helped me. And so if more women knew that was an option for them, or if their insurance covers it, then they may want to do that as well.
For it to be less of like, because from what I understand from chemo, it's like it's not an enjoyable experience. It can be extremely like you just feel like shit, And so then
Yeah.
it's like if that can relieve some of that, like I don't want to say turmoil, it seems like kind of extreme, but like to a certain extent, just to be able to make that
I know
more.
it's turmoil. My oncologist told me every single time I saw her, she was like, I'm literally killing you to save your life. And they literally are doing that. So.
And it's like you don't, and then you're still supposed to be operating and doing all of your normal life stuff. And then you think about people, with young kids or just life, work, all that stuff. And so you're trying to balance all of that while
Right.
feeling like you're literally dying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well,
So
and
yeah.
so I think that that makes a lot of sense of why after all of this, you were like, I really want to bring more light to this. Can we talk, have these conversations? Can we put more information out there? How can be readily accessible to people that it's actually affecting,
Right.
especially within the Black and Brown communities? Because that's like, it's, because it is, I think it's, how do you know what the stats are for like how much more common it is? I was looking at the website actually just to see, but.
I don't know. I know. And people are probably like, she doesn't know this information. I don't know it off the top of my hand. I'd have to look
You
at
don't know deep analytical statistics just off the
it.
drop of the hat. Just joking, but just because I remember I was thinking, so I'm thinking of Grandma Betty is what's coming to mind, and like that when so Marissa is my cousin, and so, and then Grandma Betty is her grandmother, who's like also my grandmother within my heart. And I had no idea about the impact that she was making within the breast cancer community within Tacoma, and like the dramatic improvement that she created for so many people. And then this is gonna make me cry because I cried like during the memorial about this too, but it was like to see you carry that on and like be doing it on a different scale and on a broader scale and across like the nation with so many more people that, but the same mission, the same intention, and like the impact that you're doing, like it just makes me so happy. And that's like when we talked about it, I was just like, but I don't think even like Grandma Betty, like I knew that she was doing that stuff, but I don't think I knew the gravity and like how many people like came to the service and spoke to it. Was like you can tell like the positive change she was making, even if it was just like being someone that was there or like being someone that could like advocate and talk through something with someone. I think people underestimate the power of just having someone to express your story to that understands and can listen.
I know that was one of the things too, but I'm not going to cry on your podcast. I just said that to myself. I'm not crying.
I cry every time, so don't worry, it's okay.
It's like that's one of the things that like I wish that I could talk to her about right now because I mean it's hard work, right? Especially when you're dealing with cancer, which you know is some for some people that can be like a terminal disease or a life-ending disease, and you know it's just it's heavy. It can get heavy. But I also feel like people when you're leading like an organization like this, like they hold you to a higher standard, and I think people especially nowadays, I don't know how big of that deal it was, you know, when Grandma Betty was, you know, going through hers. But especially right now, I think people feel like that they're entitled to a part of you or a piece of you, or like that you need to do these certain things. And it's like, but I'm just human. Like I still have a life too. And so that's
I
kind
can
of,
manage all of it.
yeah.
But then, like, do you feel like the humanness of it, like, and that ability to relate to say, like, I can't, like, I'm, you know, doing all of these things and more. But, like, you're so personable, though. I could also see it, like, when you put together these retreats, you're creating the space and the time and allocating it for the within that. But then there has to be boundaries, too, right?
Right. And so that's probably my hardest thing. It's like creating those boundaries, which I think I'm starting to do now. But yeah, like you said, I'm like, oh, I want everybody to have a good time, or you know, I want to get to know people personally. Like, especially when people approach me when it's like just about cancer, sometimes I just tell them, like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to talk about cancer. Like, if I was going to get in the car with you, what am I going to listen to? What are you playing?
Yeah, like I just want to know who you are because you are
Right.
so much more than that
Yeah,
too.
like, or if I'm gonna come over to your house, what would you cook me for dinner? And then they're like, oh, and you know, I'm like, I want to get to know who you are.
Not just that you are, but and I think that if that's the commonality that brings you together, then like that's beautiful, and I think that there's so much power in that. But then outside of that, you are both still very much individuals that are just living your life and like trying to find the joy within the moments within this journey. Cause like then I think, and would you say like your shift, like your perspective on life and just like your day to day and how you like view your perspective changed once you got diagnosed or even after you were in remission?
Yeah, I think, you know, even now it's kind of like, you know, a lot of things I'll just get up and do. It's like, oh, okay, well, I just want to go for a drive, or, you know, hey, I'm just going to take a trip because I want to go, you know, take a trip. Or I think some days are easier than others, but it's definitely always, I always remember, like, you know, life is just short and you just never know. One of my friends in the cancer community, one of the biggest quotes that she says that I always like repeat to myself every once in a while is like, we're all one call away from our life changing. And it doesn't mean bad or good. It just means we're all one call away from your life changing at any moment.
And it's so true though, because in a blink of an eye, everything could shift, like everything in a positive or negative direction, you know? And so it's like enjoy what you have and appreciate what you have in order to be able to make the most of the information that has already been given to you.
Right. And realizing like we're all going through, we're all like living life. Life is all, life is lifing for everybody. Like you never know. I remember when I had my first chemo, and I was really sick, but I was like needed to get out the house. And my best friend Shonda, we went down to Starbucks and we're just sitting in the middle of Starbucks. And you know how Starbucks is, it's just busy, everybody's hustling, bustling. And I'm like, I remember saying to her, like, it's so crazy because all these people are here and they're just living life, and you just never know. Like, nobody knows that I am literally dying here because I just had chemo. And you know, it's like those things that, you know, put things in perspective for you.
For sure. Because then I think you cherish those moments. Like everything becomes more precious in a way.
Yeah.
What do you think it's like outside of just like the individual moments? Have you done anything that you were like never would imagine doing, but then you're like, fuck it, let's go because of this? Or even I think you've always been a little bit more of a spontaneous person. I've heard some stories, Marissa.
Yeah,
I
got some young stories.
won't go into detail, but it sounds like one time were you guys in California and like what I don't know, and you were like on a road trip or something like that, and Jasmine was just like laughing. She was like hysterically telling me about this. I was like, you guys are wild. I was joking, but it
Yeah.
is like all good things. But we all have to have those moments. But I think even when this comes to term, no matter what age you are, no matter what's going on, it's like, and I know for myself, it's like once I recognize that like life is very short and like I truly am the only person that gets to decide how I live and how I like what I do each day, like that I take it really seriously and like as serious as and like I plan if I'm going to live this life, I'm damn well gonna have some fun while I'm doing it. And so like having joy is really important to me. And I think for years of my life, I was just like hustling and grinding, and I didn't necessarily always make that a priority.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I'm trying to do now. It's like not, I don't want to say not necessarily be so busy, but also just being like, just taking in the moments and just doing different things and going different places and yeah, just living in the moment for what it is.
I know. What does living in the moment look like for you these days?
Like if I'm around people, definitely like enjoying people's company, not being on my phone all the time. I had a bad habit of doing that when I started for the Breast of Us, but I mean for a good reason because like, you know, working and it's a lot of work, but now just being like focusing on that time, like especially if I have people who come into town who visit me, it's like, okay, taking in that time with them, you know, enjoying and spending that time with them. And just yeah, just finding the bits of joy.
Well, and like you said, having just fully embracing and like immersing yourself in whatever is going on right in front of you and right and giving that your full and undivided attention. It's hard to do because there's so many distractions within life, but it is then you can really feel, I feel like you really feel the moment then. Then you can like ride the wave of whatever is going on around you and it just can take some unexpected turns in like the best way possible. And then I think that those are like the best nights or the best times is because you don't necessarily predict them, but they just occur.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What like and I truly believe that that is in alignment with like having a sense of faith, having a connection to more of like this divine nature. And I'm curious, like, has that changed within like even I think we've talked about just like God in general, but I'm just curious if like that's your relationship with that has shifted in any way.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily even say with like my diagnosis. I remember when I was going through treatment, I remember praying to God and being like, because I was trying to get Sayer into like a really prestigious like private school, and I remember saying like, okay, God, like you could take my hair and chemo if he can get into this school, which is like, you know, a crazy thing, a crazy prayer, but at the same time, like, you know, it's
Yeah,
just
it's
one of
like
the
this is
things,
more
yeah.
important. Yeah.
But I would say now, especially even moving here to Atlanta, my faith has definitely increased. Like I found a church that I absolutely love. I love the way how the pastor kind of like teaches the Bible because I mean, you know, I grew up in church, you know that. But I just could never understand the Bible at all. Like this whole like thee and thou, like I get lost all in that. And I'm just like, okay, like
What
it
are you
sounds
really
like, and
missing?
people who are listening, don't get offensive, but it sounds like Shakespeare. Like I just can't, like I just
You're
get
like,
lost.
can't relate. I can't relate to this.
And so I remember he's always telling people, I'm like, I need a hood version of the Bible. Like somebody that's gonna break it down to me, like in a hood way that I can understand. And people look at me crazy when I would say that, but I'm like, no, if you like break it down to me like that, like I could understand that.
You're
But
like,
that's
Bible
the biggest
digest this
thing.
really.
Right. But I even say that to people when I'm talking about for the Breast of Us, and like breast cancer survivors. I'm like, you just have to meet people where they're at. I think we have to do that in every aspect of our life. Like if you meet people where they're at, like things would flow so much easier instead of like having a judgment or a preconceived notion of like, this is how the only way out things have to be. Like, no, if I need a hood Bible, give me a hood Bible.
Can you please write one?
I
I
thought about it. I really
would
did think about it.
love this so much. That
Yeah.
this is a part of
But
this. Add this to your to-do list. You don't have anything else going on this to-do list, I think.
but I love this pastor because I just love the way how he teaches it. Like he puts it in like real world terms. Like he even uses like lyrics to songs that like we listen to right now that can kind of intertwine into that. And it's like it's the best thing ever. 'Cause then it like a light bulb clicks off for me and I'm like, oh, okay, yes, I understand. So yeah.
Well, and that's like how, and that's truly what, well, at least like for the way that I, because I've always been a very spiritual person, but not necessarily a religious person, but, and I've loved to study different religions. And
Yeah.
it's because I really want to understand, because there's always that common thread, but it's like I've always thought like I would love to be someone that could like make that shift to be able to like say, like, this is how to like, this is what they're trying to say, this is the whole purpose of it. And then let's make it more relatable and more modern. So I think that's what's like lacking within so many different,
Yeah.
I think religions now, but when you can find someone that can do that, it like changes the whole room. And then it like that's the impact it's intended to have though, too,
Right.
even this
Yeah.
many thousands of years later.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you should watch the movie The Book of Clarence. I think you'll actually really like it. I'm actually telling everybody that they should watch it because it's like that good.
Is that, I was like, I'm gonna have to look this up. I don't think I've heard of it, but I am curious to what's it about? Tell me more.
It is a little bit fictional, but kind of not really because they do bring in some stuff about the Bible. But I know that Jay-Z may have been like one of the producers. He had his hand in a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, okay, I've heard of this.
But it's really good. It's actually about this guy and it's based in the biblical times and he's just walking around telling people like, your Jesus isn't real. Like I'm the Messiah. I'll be the Messiah. And it's like got a little bit of funniness to it, but then it also brings in some stories from the Bible and then, it's all actors that we know and they're kind of talking how we're talking. So it's really good.
Oh my gosh, I want to listen. I now that you bring this up, I think I saw some like advertisements for it. And I love Jay-Z and anything he does. I just think he is like ahead of his time and always has
Yeah.
been. But I do think he's trying to like make these different shifts in this very subtle and like relatable way. So I'm curious to see like what it's all about. But I'll have to listen and I'll watch it. And I'll let you know what I think about
Yeah,
all
you
of
have to
it.
let me
But
know. Yes,
well, I was like, well, I am so grateful that you joined me. I'm so grateful that we got to have this conversation. How do people stay in touch with you? How do people support you and what you're doing?
support wise, definitely. If you have people who'd like to make a donation to for the Breast of Us, please do. They can go to breastofus.com and that'll direct them over to the website and they can make a donation there. They can also follow us on all social media. So on Instagram and Facebook, we're at For the Breast of Us. If you are a breast cancer survivor who's a woman of color, we have that private group. You just search for breast cancer baddies and answer the questions, and we'll let you into that. It's a safe space specifically for Black and Brown women. So we love to invite women to come in there and talk and meet other women as well. And then, yeah, personally, on my personal Instagram page, I'm at MarissaDT28, and they can follow me there. But don't take what I do over there for what my business, because it's totally different.
You're like, those are two separate places. But
Yeah.
I think that there is a opportunity to connect with you on a personal level, but then also to support, and especially if people are going through this or they know someone that's been going through this, to like, I don't know of anything that else that exists in this realm that is necessarily aligned with what you're doing. So there's a need for it, and I'm just grateful and inspired that you are the one that took it and made it happen.
Yeah.
Doing the damn thing, girl.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. Thank you for all listening. Thank you for being part of this conversation. And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.